Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Blessings on you, dear ones. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. We've been ministering this week on a message I've entitled, The Importance of Obedience. And to understand how important it is, we're looking at the book of 1 Samuel, two experiences in the life of Saul, the first king of Israel, who was anointed by the prophet Samuel. And as we looked at briefly, he neglected to wait for Samuel, but himself presumptuously took upon the privilege and the responsibility of offering a burnt offering, and he was rebuked by the prophet Samuel. He said, "You've done foolishly, because a kingly line would have been established after him." However, he was given another chance by the Lord, and there was another opportunity we'll be looking at, and we'll see what he chose to do in case you don't know the story. But it's important, beloved, in terms of why are we sharing Old Testament history? Well, because these are examples for us. And because of Saul's choice, he lost out on so much. And only the Lord knows the times perhaps we've made the wrong choice instead of obeying the Lord, the things that God would have given to us, provided to us, for us, had we simply obeyed. And rebellion, we may not have meant it, but basically if we're not obeying God's will, well, it's called sin. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They just thought, well, you know, I mean, this piece of fruit looks really pretty good, and we'll be just like God. We'll know good from evil. And they were deceived. Eve was deceived, and she caused Adam to eat, and that's how sin entered the world as far as the human race is concerned. It had occurred much earlier with the angels when Satan decided he was going to be like the Most High and sit on the seat of the Most High. Of course, that did not work, and it will never work. There's only one God, the ruler of the universe, and that is our Yahweh God, our Heavenly Father. Praise God. And Jesus is right there at His right hand. So we were looking yesterday at Saul of Tarsus. He had a great amount of zeal before he became converted, before his Damascus Road experience. And he, bless his heart, well, we see what a wonderful, one of the greatest Christians in all history. He wrote most of the New Testament. But when he's knocked off the horse, at least the King James Version, which is my Bible, the Lord says, "Saul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he's blinded and knocked off his horse. It took that. God had been kick against the pricks. He's been like you prick a goat, an animal, to move. God had been working on him, and he was not being successful. Unfortunately, the Lord was not successful with gentler means, so he had to choose something dramatic. That finally got Saul's attention. He says, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" Sometimes, I know some of you are praying for loved ones who can be a little hard-headed and hard-hearted and stiff-necked, but that's okay. God knows how to get to them. He has heard your prayers. And if you write the names of your unsaved loved ones, I will agree with you to that effect and end. Praise God. At any rate, Saul was very zealous, but zealousness that's not according to knowledge is in fact a defiance of knowledge and the Word of God and conscience. It's basically a spiritual millstone that will drag the rebellious down beneath, the waters of self-righteousness, if you will, and they're going to perish. God hates rebellious acts, those who will not obey His voice and His Word. And it's important, that's why I'm taking this time, that we understand the seriousness. Once we know clearly, I'm talking about knowing clearly what God wants us to do and we refuse to do it, beloved, that's spiritually, it's a scary and dangerous place to be in. Whenever we continue to walk or follow our own will and will not obey His will, well, what are we doing? In essence, we're rejecting His will. And instead, we're placing ourselves as a, our own God, if you will. We should be a living sacrifice on the altar of God, but as it were, we're putting ourselves on the altar and we're offering swine's flesh, if you will, which was an abomination to the Jews in terms of their law of what could be eaten and what could not be eaten. And so, beloved, let's now begin to look more closely at the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to look at the 15th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And now this is the second chance I told you about that God gave to Saul. He blew it the first time. He had a warning. And so God is waiting to see what Saul will do with this next request. And it's very clear. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." This is very serious. That's serious verbiage, terminology. He's not saying, "Saul, I'm really kind of giving you advice." He is saying, "This is the voice of the words of the Lord. This is what God told me to tell you." He goes on, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I, the Lord," I put that in there so you know who is speaking. "I remember that which Amalek did to Israel." See, a lot of times we don't see justice done right away, but God has a perfect time. He's in control and in charge. "He remembered what Amalek did, how he laid wait for him," for Israel, "in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling." They hadn't done anything wrong, but God had a purpose. We won't go into that now. "Ox and sheep, camel and ass." And so that was this very specific, very clear word that God gave to Samuel to speak to Saul. "Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." God did not want to withdraw his favor from Saul. And beloved, he doesn't want to withdraw or withhold his grace, blessings, and favor from his children today. In this chapter, God is giving Saul another chance to show himself faithful and obedient to God. Now notice God's command. He says, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all." That's verse 3. God didn't talk in riddles. He didn't give a command in such intellectual terms that Saul couldn't understand. God's orders were plain and they were explicit. God said that Amalek was to be entirely destroyed. God didn't say to do it your way. He said, "Do it my way." And when God speaks for us to stand faithful, for example, he means us to stand faithful. He doesn't mean to be anxious and try to rise above the position he's placed you in. You know, God will make room for your gift. Be content where you are. Remember, there's another scripture, I don't know where it is right now, but whatever state you find yourself when you're saved, be content to stay in that state. Why? Because God is able to promote you, to change the direction. He's got a plan for your life. He's got it all planned out. He just wants you to agree with him, to make the right choices. Does that mean you'll be lost, unsaved? Not necessarily, but it means you're going to miss out on what the best that God had for you. There's his good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I was sharing with someone the other day, ever since a baby Christian, because I don't profess to be that smart, but I'm smart enough to know the best way to pray was God's perfect will. I figured that out really soon. And not that I had bad experiences, but it just, you know, think about it. I mean, if he can run the universe, create everything that is, I think he could probably have the best advice or words to give, and when he speaks to us and out of his word. So wherever God has placed you, be faithful over that office or position or job or talent that he's given you. Then and only then he will bless your life, and then he will increase your influence, your service for him, the fruit that you bear. But, you know, so many, they refuse to stand as faithful prayer warriors in a church. They will for a little while, then they just kind of, well, things happen and they just sort of phase out. And some he's spoken to perhaps to give financially or to do a particular task, but they simply refuse to obey God. Or they may have some really good excuses, but ultimately the bottom line is they have refused. They chose to do their own will. And there are those that gossip and fuss and fume and nitpick and carry on tales, wag their tongue to everyone who they can get to listen. And then they wonder why God hasn't blessed them. They wonder why they haven't grown in God. And they wonder why prophetic words are not fulfilled in their lives, or why they're not walking in the abundant blessings and life that Jesus promised. Beloved, when we have the Lord's command explicitly, so there's no doubt, we are to obey in full confidence that he will bless us. I remember one of Brother Glass's slogans and truisms was, when in doubt, wait. In other words, if you're not certain of the direction, that doesn't mean you just go rushing ahead because you're afraid you're going to disobey God. God will give you clarity. He will give confirmation. He has marvelous ways of doing that. And so just be willing to hold your ground, stay where you are until you have that unction, that clear leading with peace, a lack of anxiety, regardless of what anybody else says, and then you're able to go and follow God. I've had to do that in my life. After Brother Glass went home, I had to make some strong decisions, but I knew God was with me in those decisions. Well, beloved, the time has flown, and here we are again at the end of the broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast, and we'll see. I may not even finish this week. We might have to carry it over, but we'll see how God leads and directs us. I love you. I do pray for you every day, as I shared on the first broadcast this week, praying for a spirit of revelation to be given to you in the knowledge of him, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577 Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.